بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وبعد. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that he is one. We give all praise to him who sustains the heavens and the earth and cares for all of his creation and especially for his human creation. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his noble and generous messenger. And Allah says of him that we should salute him with prayers and with peace. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says of him that he is a mercy to all the worlds. مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except to be a mercy to all the worlds. لِلْعَالَمِينَ, to all the worlds. Everything that we have in Islam, from the Quran and from Muhammad, who received the Quran for us, directly or indirectly address something or addresses something that is in the scriptures that came before or in the religious traditions of the people that had religious communities before the coming of Muhammad, God's servant and messenger. Prayers and peace be upon him. It says in the Quran, God says, that is, in the Quran, because the Quran is all the word of God, whereas other scriptures are not all the word of God. And well, we are not saying this. They say that. This is not us criticizing them. This is us just saying what they say of their own scriptures. Not all the words of God to the prophets. Others came behind the prophets and they wrote. And much that we find in the scriptures of others, other people outside of the Muslims, those scriptures carry the words and teachings of their holy people, their saintly people, their rabbis, their priests, etc., their monks, whatever. It is not all revelation from God. Even Paul was not accepted, the Apostle Paul. He is one of the main authors of the books, the new book in the New Testament. And it's not agreed in Christian history of the Christian church that all that Paul received was from God. So we only have Quran that claims to be only the word of God. Nothing in there came from Muhammad himself. He was not able to speak those words. He was not learned in scripture. He was not even acquainted with scriptures. It was all things to him. So none of that was from him. It all was inspired. It came directly from the Most High God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified and praised is he. So Muhammad, the prophet, is a mercy to all of the worlds. And where we read in the Quran, that this was revealed to him. He was not knowing any of this. He had no access to any of your knowledge. This is made clear in the Quran of Muhammad the Prophet. It says also that they wonder, what kind of book is this that leaves out nothing small or big? Leaves out nothing small or big. Now, it doesn't, what it's referring to, this is the key for us Muslims. To understand the Quran, we have to know the context that it is addressing. What context is it addressing? It is addressing every book that ever appeared in the world, When it says it leaves out nothing, small or great, or small or large? No. That's too much, and it's nonsense. It's a lot of foolishness. The Quran doesn't address foolishness and nonsense. The Quran only addresses what people claim to be the word of God, or what people claim that God authorized. The Quran only addresses that and no more. Only what people claim that they have from God, and it addresses what people claim God authorizes. Does God authorize you to do these things that you're doing in the name of God? Quran has Muhammad responsible for challenging them and addressing them to make them prove that this that you claim that is not from God is from God. You see? These are the issues. These are the issues. The issues are found in the context of revealed knowledge and in the context of that the world used after revealed knowledge, or even before, to say that this is from God. This is from God. So Muhammad really comes as a messenger from God to correct what the world has that they claim is from God, to correct it. And that's what Allah's words say in the Quran, that this is a correction on the previous books, the books that came before. This is a correction on the books that came before. And a plain teaching, and a plain teaching, come to make it plain, clear, very plain. Now, in addressing what came before, what came before also was a plan for the future, though it had not been fulfilled. The plan for man's future life on this planet to the day of judgment. And that means as long as we are human on this planet, God has already gave us guidance to take care of us for as long as we are humans on this planet. Now, in the early times, Scripture came to prophets addressing both their local conditions, but also pointing them to the conclusion of things. So Scriptures before Prophet Muhammad and teachers in the Scriptures, with the Scriptures, pardon me, before Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him, they were pointing people also to the conclusions of things. And they were pointing to the signs that address the conclusion of things. So when God made man and put him on the earth as a responsible creature to carry out God's will, God at that time inspired him to not only work in the present, but to work for the future. Every human being is created to not live in the present only. God created us with the nature to wonder how the future is going to be. And I have to prepare myself for the future. And if I can, I have to help others prepare themselves for the future. So this is what made prophets. The prophet nature is in every human being. Every human being is born with the prophet nature. We're the children of Adam, the descendants of Adam. And Adam was not only the first man, but he was also the first prophet. He warned his children. He planned a life for the future. The need to prophesy grew stronger and stronger as man lived and experienced life in his environment. Trouble for that life produced more and more seers look into the future. We were striving, straining to look into the future, to know where is this going? How can we prepare better for what we're going to face? It is common knowledge that the prophet nature is in all of us. We can never say Muhammad is our messenger. He's only Allah's messenger. But we always say he's our prophet. He's our prophet. He's flesh of our flesh. the bone of our bones. He's human like we are. Well, it says to him, say to them, I am a human mortal just like you are. And I dash away Nifluqun, the words of God to him in the Quran. I am a human mortal just like you are. And we should, the public of the world has advanced so much in human intellect since the time of the early prophets and since the time of the last prophet, Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him. The publics have been advanced so much in the intellect, in the brain, knowledge. And we're still talking to them like they are people that were in crowds 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, thousands of years ago. We're speaking to them just like they're the same public. We haven't progressed our communication to our publics, to our religious publics that respect their graduation in knowledge. And that's why most of the people nowadays, they don't have much patience with the preachers. They don't care to go to the houses of worship. Because the world is so far ahead of them in so many respects. The world is so far ahead of the religious leaders. Their leaders in these churches and mosques and synagogues, etc. So Buddhists, all of them suffer that. The Buddhists, all of them, they suffer that. For some reason, that I think can be explained, they think when you say the word of God never changed, I guess they think they mean the way to communicate it never changes either. And that's horrible. It is. For me, that's horrible. We have to respect our public, the intelligence in our public. And if the public now can have more understanding, they are prepared to ask for more understanding, we should give them that understanding. And they don't have to ask for it with their mouths, so give us time. They ask for it with their attitude towards you. They ask for it with their treatment of you. They ask for it with their absence from you. We praise God, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In the Quran, we read the chapter, small chapter, Al-As. And we ask Allah's protection from the rejected Satan, the enemy of all human beings. It begins, you know, with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, as every other chapter except one, the ninth chapter of the Quran. It begins with the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then comes the words, Wal-As. By the time, translated also by the token of time. And it also means the hour. The scripture before said, a day with man is as a thousand, one day with the Lord is as a thousand years of mankind, of our life. So our thousand years is nothing but like one day with God. So this us is not an hour on the clock that you got up by Monday morning or whatever, went up the other day it was. It's not that clock. Well, us, this is an hour. But this is a big measurement. A big measurement in the time of man. Big measurement. And it is a time of difficulty. We know from the word us. The Quran is powerful and rich and potent in its power or in its capacity to communicate volumes with hearers. Volumes! Well, it's a few words. Well, I used to hear as a young man, interested and curious in the scripture. I used to hear that some imams overseas, that they took this al-Fatiha, one word or one line of al-Fatiha, and they did volumes. I would have said, I did say to myself, I didn't say to anybody, I never heard anybody from, but I said to myself, yeah, they don't have anything to do but waste time. That was when I was young, you know. But now that I'm older, and I have myself enriched my own self by my studies, and I have entertained myself in such a heavenly way, I put myself in like in a heavenly environment, just with my curiosity, searching God's words, put me in a heavenly environment. So I have enjoyed it so much that I look back on my young mind and the young expressions I made, and I feel shame. I feel sorry. I want to apologize to those learned men that make the volumes, Allahu Akbar, that make volumes discussing just one little short ayah or one expression. And I feel right now, I know I wouldn't be bored. I could take al-as and I could write volumes. Because this very word is so big and broad that it includes in its concept, it includes so much of man's time on earth, man's time in history, man's life in struggle. I could do volumes. Where do we get the difficulty here? This says, well, us. Slightly different from us. But nevertheless, a hit or play on us. The loss by the token of time. And we know God says, I do not want for you difficulty. That's us. That's us. Difficulty. I do not want for you difficulty, but I want that you be purified. Our flesh belongs to the animal kingdom. This flesh and blood body of ours. It belongs to the animal kingdom. And there was a time for many nations when their flesh was no more than that of animals. They lived like animals. They worshiped animals. They made deities in animal form, gods. And they put upon their head animal horns because they were imitating animals and they were one of the animals and they were saying that I'm an animal with this animal's trait. Or I'm an animal with this animal's appetite, or with this animal's bravery, or with this animal's cunningness, etc. They would wear things to identify them with animals that they loved and admired and worshipped even. Some they worship as God. Ancient Egypt, with its high and great civilization that they developed, they chose many animals as deities, cat, dog, and others, lion, many, as deities, as gods. So in our flesh body, we belong to the animal kingdom. And when the human spirit is out of the animal body, the body is nothing but the flesh of an animal. It's nothing but an animal. You become nothing but an animal. When God says he's going to make man, the angel said, what will you make of the net that will cause bloodshed? And God said, I know what you know now. And God says, when I have given him of my own spirit, then you make sense that to him. When I have given him of my own spirit, God didn't say, well, this man is worthy of your respect. Why aren't you respecting him? Without God's Spirit in you, you're not worthy of the respect of angels. Why should angels respect you with nothing but your human nature and makeup and animal body? Why? They shouldn't. You're not better than the rest of the animals. Well, some animals are better than man when you take the Spirit of God out of man. And he says he's given up he's given something of his ruh to everything. Everything. God's ruh, or his Spirit. He says, when I have breathed into him out there, he's talking about the higher, God is talking about that higher plane of inspiration. And many planes or levels of inspiration that come to man. God made the beautiful creation itself to inspire man. The creation by itself alone can inspire man and aid man and assist man on the road to his own development, to a higher life, to a higher and better and more productive life. The creation itself inspires that in its beauty, wonderment, wisdom. It's full of messages for the human intellect. Yes. But God was telling the angels, this man I created, I didn't create him to be left alone. I didn't create him to be left alone with the creation. I created him to be influenced by the creation, to come to me, to find me. The artist that did this great wonder, that gave this great wonder to him. I created it to inspire him to come to me. And if he comes to me, I'm going to give him of my own Spirit. And when I give him of my own Spirit, you make sense that to him. Because I didn't give you to my world for you to serve yourselves. Your existence is to serve my man. Praise be to Allah. Muhammad the Prophet said, God, in that battle, he didn't leave you alone. He sent angels among you to help you get the victory. So the angel needed to work with man, but the man that God chose to lead the humanity, all human flesh. Praise be to Allah. And Muhammad is a mercy to all the worlds. Well, us. Concerning the time down through the ages. Difficulty. Difficulty for what part of man? For his spirit. All of this is implied in the word walaf. Difficulty for his spirit. His spirit wants to come to rest. Rest from that is in conflict with his better nature. But his spirit is the life of his better nature. It is the life. Life is movement, not standing still. Life is movement, not standing still. So our life is in our spirit more than it is in our body. They can't go very far without the airplane or the car or something. But the spirit will even go beyond the conscious mind. Go even beyond my rational senses, my spirit. And tell my rational senses, I'm out here and I need you to join me. I want to understand where I'm at. So this is the man that God made. The man that I'm so happy to be. Oh, I know my life. I found myself. And it's wonderful. And that's where all of us are created to go. We have to go where God created us to go. And it's not to be hung up in this life like a cow or dog or cat or snake. No. Those are creations below your creation. Much below your creation. Praise be to Allah. Concerning the hour, surely mankind is lost. Lost! إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Surely the mankind is entrapped. Lost and entrapped. Fichus tells me he's not only lost, but he's entrapped. He's lost and not let alone. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The third progression for this chapter of Surah. First progression, it begins with Wal-As. Second progression begins with إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Third progression, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who have faith, who believe. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who have faith and who believe. Now, dear people, we begin our journey back to our God. And what is our journey back to our God? Is it God that we need to work with? No, it's God that we need to support our work. We need to work with our fellow man. God does not need to be a laborer with us. He made us to be a laborers with one another. And among one another. Okay, so my journey back to God is really to get authorization for what I have to do from my God. Because he gave me a soul that's very sensitive when it comes to obedience to my Lord. It obeyed my Lord before it was given to me. He wouldn't even give me a soul until he created it in obedience. Then he gave it to me and I was born of Clara Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad. And that soul is there in me and with me to enforce me to go where God wants me to go. So first we're established in our souls. And we stand up erect, balanced, spiritually balanced. This is no material balance. This is a spiritual balance. Man's balance is spiritual, not physical. And it requires the subconscious more than it requires the conscious. Because the mind has too much to do to be thinking or standing up. So God created us to have a spiritual balance in the subconscious. So we don't have to be worried while we're working about standing up. So the world walking around in the animal body may be standing up as an animal, but may be down as a human being. And we have to let them know that the God has sent guidance to stand them up again in their soul. So when we stand up and say, Allahu Akbar, we're standing up in our souls. Righteous, obedient, clean, hands clean. Maybe they were dirty just a second ago. But when I put my attention on my Lord, I confess all my faults. And I tell him, I want my hands open to you, my Lord. I hide nothing from you. I'm innocent in your presence. Please accept me and forgive me all my sins. And make me perfect and clean before you in your presence. Huh? And you've forgotten all the wrong. You're not thinking about the dope you sold last week to pay the bill, to pay the note. You ain't thinking about that when you stand up in prayer lines with us. That's out of your mind. It was in your mind, you're repenting for it. And hoping your repentance is accepted. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Okay, now, from the soul, we have to move out. Because the soul wants us to get something, and it ain't all here where I'm standing. The soul is far-reaching. Far-reaching. So the soul is making me now want to move out. If I move out, the world is not under angels only. The world that I came down into it, with Satan. But Satan was just a naughty boy.
And all this time he had on earth since then, he's grown up. And he was too much of a match for me, even then, when we were together in the heavens, or I should say in the heavenly regions. And his disobedience caused us all to be cast down together, not separately, together. Kubat. All together, in one bunch. We were cast down. Huh? And now he has had all this time to do his thing. And God said to the archangel Jibril, peace be upon him, he said, let me show you my creation. And he showed it to him. And Jibril said, my Lord, how can anyone go astray in such a marvelous, wonderful, beautiful creation? And in an instance, God showed it to him eons later in time. But it was all decorated by Satan. And when Jibril saw it, he said, my Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a creation? Well, that's the creation that we're in. We're in that creation that when Jibril looks at it, he says, how can anybody be without sin in this creation? So Satan filled it with allurements, enticements, temptations, everywhere. So to advance with the soul that God gave us, and with the direction that God put in that soul, once it becomes conscious in man's world, it is enforced to have many interests, many appetites, many objectives or aims, or hopes. But there's one that you had before your eyes fell on the law, before your ears heard the law. You had one direction, and that direction was obedience to your God. To take your life and your interest in obedience to your God, where God motivates human life to go. This is the original soul, the original consciousness of the human being. So now you're in the world and you're conscious and you're in this very difficult world to keep obedience. It's very hard to keep your taqwa in this world influenced, decorated by Satan. So the time is very difficult. The hour is very trying for us. It's not so difficult for those who have faith. It said, "Illadina amanu." That means you exclude it. It's not going to be that hard on you. So faith even takes the burden of Satan off my back. Faith will take the burden of Satan off my back. I think it was Otis Redding who said these words. He said, I wake up in the morning, wake up early, he said, and the light hurts my eyes. Then I look at you, and the world is all right with me. He said, then I look at you. He says, A wonderful day, a beautiful day. A lovely day. Yes, a lovely day. A lovely day. Now, I don't know what he was addressing. But I know I haven't found a woman to do that for me. Only the Word of God. Only the Word of God. Oh, Daddy, I got your genes, and I think I've become a preacher. In the Levina, Amanu, except those who have faith. So God is saying that faith is your best weapon against the temptations. Yes, faith is your best weapon even against the greatest tempter. the Shaitan himself. Faith is your key to victory on the long haul with the heavy baggage to reach your Lord. Praise be to Allah. What is that heavy baggage? My responsibility to develop my life and the life of my environment. My responsibility to show a responsibility for the whole world and the fate of mankind to the end of time. Phase number 3. وَعَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Phase number 4. And their works are righteous. Their deeds are righteous. عَمَلُ means work. Except for those who have righteous works. We know this is scripture. Most of you come from Christian environment, if not from Christian teachings. And those who come from Christian teachings, you know that this is in the Bible. Same thing. God won't accept faith alone. You must bring in also good works. This is the Bible. That's why Allah said in the Quran that this is a correction on the books that were came previously. And an extended message. The first coming out of the old and extending it so we can go further in the world with the new. Righteous works. The Satan, after God created us for a strong and healthy life, he influences our life to be diseased and weak. So we need righteous works to advance the works that God wants on this world, in this world. Satan is here with his plan to defeat the works of man, to prove man unworthy of being given this honor and this responsibility by the Creator, from the Creator. He's out to prove man wrong. Eventually, he wants to make the world, this is what you ought to listen to very carefully and hold it, don't forget it. He wants the world, too, to be made for God. But he has his own idea of how to make it happen. He has his own idea how to make it happen. And it irks him that man takes this responsibility on himself and keep Satan out of it. And he said, why are you keeping me out of something I was in before they were in it? Now I used to lead the angels. What are you little boys doing? What are they thinking? I'll fix them. I'm going to crucify the whole race of mankind. What he told God, he said, well, I'm going to go out before them and behind them. I'm going to go on their left and on their right. He was saying to God, I'm going to crucify the whole of mankind. And what is crucifying? Blocking, stopping, checking, making static and still what should be moving for God. So that's why in the Quran say no. They neither killed him, neither did they make him static and still. And they did not give him rigor mortis. So the fourth phase is وَعَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Righteous deeds. Righteous deeds will take all of us down off the cross. Taqwa by itself can't take us off the cross. The cross is static life. Can't move. You can have taqwa and maybe you won't move. In the name of your taqwa, you will say, I'm justified to stay stand still. Because there's too dangerous for me out there on Satan's field of activity. But when the Spirit comes into you to do something about your environment, to work, and to have work, righteous work established for your name, Satan has a contender. He's going to have to give up some of the territory. That's why God obligates us to not just have taqwa, but also jihad. After Muhammad, the Prophet, had been granted victory, and the environment was in their hands, we haven't got that. We haven't gotten there yet. We're trying to get a little of this environment in our hands, and we're making progress here in Atlanta more than we are anywhere else right now. But we haven't gotten there yet. There's not a whole town that we can show people ourselves that we have, and we are the administrators for that town, and we are taking care of the affairs of the people in that town, all their services, Muslim service, Muslim given by Muslims, etc. We haven't achieved that. We haven't achieved what Muhammad achieved by the help with the grace of God and His mercy in Medina. And when he achieved it, did he say, okay, we have reached the promised land. Rejoice. Celebrate. Allah says, as soon as you have completed one task, immediately pick up another. So Muhammad, when peace was established for the whole land that he was again over as their leader, as their chief, or as their boss, their governor, he said, from henceforth upon me, is taqwa and jihad. Taqwa and jihad, he said. Consciousness and struggle. Consciousness and struggle. Do you know that's what makes all people great? Devotion to what they respect. To what they respect as having the power to support their good life. That's their taqwa for that cause. Put their energy, their bodies, and their money into the effort. And they become a great people. A great people. I'm not going to name Allah Akbar. Allah is greater. I'm not going to name any of them that comes to my mind now. Because we don't want your mind on the struggle of other people. We want you just to be aware that God created all people with this nature. Yes. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and righteous works. And righteous works. Work and righteous works. Do you know the heaven that God promised to us is a promise He has prepared for workers? For workers.